ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। Welcome to ISKCON Silicon Valley. Thanks for joining us here at this center. It's a small miracle that we have this place because everyone here is a volunteer and over more than a decade, Hare Krishna, over more than a decade, devotees have been pulling together here for the purpose of expanding the spiritual mission, something that they recognize as important in their own lives and the lives of people of Silicon Valley and beyond. And it's not always easy to keep a group of volunteers together over a long period of time. And so when there is cohesion, it's a great success. Growing from cooperation, the development of tight relationships, then material facility comes to accommodate that. If you try to do it the other way around and build infrastructure without developing relationships and having a cohesive sense of mission, then the infrastructure becomes a burden. So here we have good relationships. Of course, not that there aren't some kinds of interactions that show us where we need to improve. There always are, but that's the benefit of being with other people. But this is a very solid foundation, a place from which to grow. And so we're lucky to have the community, the relationships, and the facility all in one. And it's a great joy to invite others to come into this environment so that they can take away with them something that's the most valuable, and that is a sense of service to Krishna, or an impetus to serve Krishna, and the means to do so. Because although someone may have an understanding that, or a feeling that I would like to serve, they may not know exactly how to do it. So being able to teach the tradition, which has been passed down through the great authorities in the line of disciplic succession, is also extremely valuable and gratifying. And thanks to everybody who's joined us online from various places around the world. We definitely feel your presence and have organized this temple specifically to reach out to you. Oh hey! Oh hey Vaishnava Thakura Doyara Sagara Edase Karuna Kori. Sagara. Oh hey Vaishnava Thakura Doyara Sagara Edase Karuna Kori. Oh hey Vaishnava Thakura. Diyapada chaya shorohe amai tomara charana dhori. Diyapada chaya shorohe amai tomara charana dhori. Chaya bega domi, chaya dosha shori, chaya guna deho dase. Chaya bega domi, chaya dosha shori, chaya guna deho dase.
Chaya begadoni, chaya dosha shodhi, chaya guna behodase. Chaya satsanga, deho amare, boshishi shange rashe. Chaya satsanga, deho he amare boshishi shange rashe. Ekaki amar mahipai bolo hari namo sankirtane. Ekaki amar mahipai bolo hari namo sankirtane. Tumi kripa kore shada bindu diya deho Krishna nama dhane. Tumi kripa kore shada bindu diya deho Krishna nama dhane. Krishna se tomar, Krishna dite paro, tomara shakti ache. Krishna se tomar, Krishna dite paro, tomara shakti ache. Amito kanga, Krishna Krishna bole, dayatava pache pache. Amito kanga, Krishna Krishna bole dayatava pache pache. Amito kanga, Krishna Krishna bole dayatava pache pache. Ohe Vaishnava Thakur doyara sagar itase karuna kori. Ohe Vaishnava Thakur doyara sagar idase karuna kori. Vaishnava Thakur, Vaishnava Thakur, Jaya Vaishnava Thakur. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Vaigo Premanande.
How many of you understand the language of this bhajan? 1, 2, 3. Okay, so give Shamalingi the microphone. And just tell us, from looking at the words, give a little explanation.
So,
you guys all speak Bengali?
Vaishnav Thakur means...
A little closer.
Vaishnav Thakur, we are calling out to the Vaishnav Thakur, who is like... Thakur literally means, we use it for God in Bengali. So Vaishnav is like equivalent, like, you know, we treat him almost like God.
How would you support that shastrically? We've got her on the spot here, unless she calls a friend.
I'll call the friend.
Support the idea that Vaishnav is like as good as God. It's not God, but good as God.
Yeah.
Why? And where? Give some shastra. Let's hear some Sanskrit.
Sakshat dharit vino shamat.
There you go.
I mean.
Yeah, you do. Go ahead and just say it. What you know. When you know a fragment of a verse, if you say it with confidence, it's as good as saying the whole verse. But if you know where it is, and you know what it is, and then you say it tentatively, then everyone goes, oh, they don't know it. So just the part you know.
Yeah, because she's the
right
reference.
Go for it.
Sakshadharit vena samasta shastre uktastatha bhavetaiva shad.
It's not uktastatha, it's ruktastatha, because you it's actually one line, and there's an R and then a U.
Okay.
So don't say uktastata, say ruktastata, because it goes
together. Kintu prabhuryaha priyaivatasya vande guru shri charanarvinda.
Explain the verse. Means? Sakshad means what?
Like real, like.
Sakshad Hari. Who's Sakshad Hari?
Krishna.
Well, Sakshad Hari, it's referring here that the spiritual master is directly Hari. So the same as Hari. It's just directly Hari. How? How is it? Sakshad Dharit Tvayamastamasta Shastra. What's being said in the line? Shastra is saying that Hari and Guru are directly the same.
The Shastra says that Hari and
Guru. Yes. So why are they the same? Okay, call a friend.
Because he's the most confident.
So Kintu Prabhu, he's the most confidential servant of Krishna. Priya Eva, he's very dear to Krishna.
Yeah, because he's a representative. Right? Okay. So the Shastra is all saying from that verse that Guru and God, they can be considered equal. Not that they are equal, but they're considered equal because one's representing the other. And therefore that person who's representing is very dear to Krishna. Okay, keep going.
Okay, so Vaishnav Thakur Dayarasagar, he's like an ocean of mercy. Please, Edase Karuna Kori, please have mercy on this servant of yours. Give me the Diya Pada Chaya, give me the shelter of your lotus feet. Shodohi Amaya, correct me, you know, from my mistakes, whatever. I hold your charan like your lotus feet. I hold up to your lotus feet. Chaya Vega Domi, Chaya Dosha Shodhi. So Chaya is six, Vega is like the six kind of urges we have. I know there was a list of names, but I don't remember them right now. The Vacha Vegam, Mansa Krodha Vegam.
What does Vega mean? Pundits, let's turn to our pundit circle. What's a Vega? Besides a kind of shake.
Urge.
Huh? What?
It's the urge.
Is that on? Okay. Support. Give me some Sanskrit to support that. Where do you hear references to Vegas? We can't hear anything out of that mic. It's on, but very low.
Red one.
Oh, Vacha vegan, manisa krodha vegan, jivan vegan, nidra pashta vegan, etan vegan, yovishita dhira, sarvam api mam prithvim sa shishyat.
So what's the idea behind this verse?
It says...
Tell me what the vegas mean.
The verse states that one who can control the urges of the mind, genitals, stomach, tongue, anger, and...
What's vacho? Speech. Tongue. Okay. So vega means urges, yeah? Then what? If one can do that, then...
He is qualified to make disciples all over the world.
Yeah, because the actual masters, who are the masters of this world? Senses? Can you verify that? Give me some Sanskrit.
So, Maharaja, question, who's the master of this?
Who's the master of the world? Senses, you said. Verify.
Yeah, in the sense like... So master is like whom we follow the commands. So most of the time we follow the commands in direction of our senses. It should not
be Sanskrit.
So is there in the verse Kama Dinam Katina Katita Palita Virmideshas Desham Jata Naina Karuna Natrapana Pashanti.
Just those two lines.
Kama Dinam is saying that how different kind of lusty desires, kama, adinam, and all, like it says, like a whole genre of things, like maybe it's lust, anger, greed, and kama, adinam.
Do you know this verse? Get a verse book quick.
Kama, adinam, katina, katita, palita, durmidesha. So it's saying that for how long and how many times I have been following this senses and their demands from tiny Muriel.
Yeah, they're the masters. Which kind of masters?
Durmidesha, they are the very bad masters.
Bad masters of the senses. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, Chaya Bega Domi, Shamani means? Chaya Bega Domi means? That one's very quiet also, unless it's off.
It was off. Okay. So six kinds of urges what we have. Domi means, I think, bring it down. Like, you know, he's asking...
Help me to control them.
He's requesting the Vaishnava Thakur to control the six urges that we have. Chaya dosha shodhi dosh are the six faults. Six kinds of faults.
Okay.
Please correct them. Chaya guna deho dasha. Give me the six kind of good qualities.
What are the six faults? I want Sanskrit over here. Name the six faults. We're talking nectar instruction now. It's nectar instruction 101 time.
Atyahara prasascha prajalpani nagraha jana sangarshalayam cha sadvar bhakti vinashyati.
Okay, tell us what they are in English. Atyahara means?
Over.
Ati means extreme, and ahara means eating or collecting.
Yeah, having too much.
Extreme eating. You know extreme sports? There's extreme eating. Okay, go ahead. Atyahara?
Is overeating or collecting. A prajal.
Prayashish.
Oh. I don't know that one. Over endeavoring.
Get out of the book quick. You got to help each other out. It's a team.
And then prajalpo is talking about like mundane subjects.
Give me an example. Act it out. Hey, guess what? Come on.
Hey, you know that girl that I met yesterday? She was like really, really mean and annoying. And I just like couldn't handle her at all. Like, what do you think about her?
Oh my God, no way. She's so annoying.
Okay, good. We got it. Prajalpo. Prajalpo, then?
Niyamagraha.
We need a definite pundit to pull this one apart. Niyamagraha, what is it?
I'm forgetting that one.
Help call a friend. Come on, nectar of instruction 101. This is easy. Niyamagraha. There's two words, Niyamagraha and Niyamagraha. What's the difference? It's all in one word, but it's pronounced one way.
Niyama is rules and regulations. Agraha is too much attachment to. And then it also can be too much neglect of.
But you have to say it right. Niyamagraha and niyamagraha.
Oh, so it's niyamagraha.
Niyamagraha and niyamagraha. Say the two.
Niyamagraha and niyamagraha.
Yeah, what's the difference?
So niyamagraha is too much attachment to rules and regulations. But niyamagraha is too much neglect of rules and regulations.
Okay, so it's two in one. Not a two for going. What's the next one?
Jhanasangas, and that's association with worldly-minded people.
Okay.
And Williams greed.
What do they want, worldly-minded people?
To gratify their senses.
Okay. Jhanasangas, then?
Chalolam is greed.
Okay. So, name the six, just name them.
Overeating.
Yes. Or over-collecting.
Overeating or over-collecting. Then it's over-endeavoring.
For mundane things that are very difficult to...
And then talking about mundane subject matters.
Correct.
Niyamagraha has too much attachment or too much neglect of rules and regulations.
Yes. And last one?
Association of worldly-minded people.
That's...
And greed.
Okay.
Okay, so Chaya Dushas... So these in Chaya Guna Dehodashi, the good qualities, please, six kind of good qualities, please give it to me. That's what he's requesting.
Okay. Then let's ask Sri Antariksha, quote Sanskrit for the six good qualities.
Utsaha nischayat dhairya tattat karna pravartanat sangatyaga chato vitte sarvel bhakte unashyati.
Prasidyati. Prasidyati means ruins. Prasidyati means uplift. So tell me what they are.
Enthusiasm, utsaha, nischayat, determination, and dhairyat, patience. Tattat karma pravartanat, following in the footsteps of previous acharyas. Sangatyagat, satavritte. Sangatyagat is neglecting the association of worldly men. Are the six qualities.
Shatovrate. So name them again. Let's count. Number one.
Utsaha. Yes, enthusiasm.
Two.
Nischayat. Determination.
Three.
Dharyat. Patience.
Four. One, two, three. Yes.
Tattat karma pravartanat. Following the footsteps of previous acharyas.
Yeah.
Sangatyagat.
Do you get them all? That's only five. There's one more. What's the one he's missing? Means? Shatovrate. From the seto. Word for word there? Okay, number one is utsahan. Who here has some utsahan? One, two, three, four, five. Everyone raise your hand. Everyone else, you're out. Okay, utsahan nishchayat means?
Confidence.
You feel confident in the practice of devotional service, that the goal will be reached. Then, dharyat, patience. You have to be patient. Then,
Tattat karma
means? So the various activities that have been performed by previous acharyas, so you follow those things, that you include those in your life. Then?
Sangatyagat
means? You give up the association of fools. Fool number one. And then? Shatovrate means? Following in the footsteps of previous acharyas. So these are called the chaya guna. Guna means, it doesn't just mean like a mode of nature, but it also means when it's just juxtaposed with dosha, a guna means a good quality. Guna means a good quality. So we want the guna, the good qualities, and we don't want the doshas, right? And I'm not talking about the crepe,
the pancake, South Indian pancake. We don't want the faults. Okay, go ahead.
Then choice satsanga.
Closer.
Choice satsanga means like six kind of good association.
Yeah, good.
And then he's asking, Deho Amare, give to me. He's asking for that. And I am sitting here.
Deho Amare means please give me.
Give it to me.
Okay,
yeah,
give to me.
Yeah. Boshechi Sangero Asha. I'm sitting here waiting for this.
Boshechi?
Boshechi means
Boshechi.
Sitting.
Sitting. Sitting. I'm sitting. Yeah. Boshechi.
Sangero means to get this association. I'm in hoping for this. I'm
it's kind of like I'm waiting here for this.
For that, yeah.
So when you're chanting, you can be thinking, I'm chanting, I'm waiting for all these things to come, I'm praying for these.
Yeah.
Okay.
Eka ki amar, alone, I am nahi paye bala. I'm not getting the strength, Harinam Sankirtane, to chant the names of the Lord.
If I'm alone, since I'm alone, I can't do these
things.
I need your help.
Tumi kripa kuri, by your mercy, Shraddha, give me the faith, by the, you know, a drop of Shraddha, please give me, so that, and give me, Deho Krishna Naam Dhan, give me the wealth of the holy names, Krishna consciousness.
Nice. She's good. Okay, keep going.
Krishna se tomar, Krishna is yours, Krishna se tomar. Krishna dite paro, you can give me Krishna. Tomar shakti ache, you have that strength. Shakti. Ami to kangal, I am like beggar or even
kangal.
Kangal is like a beggar.
I'm begging.
Yeah, Krishna, I'm calling
out. We're not too proud to beg.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. At least for Krishna, we should not.
Yes.
Krishna, Krishna, boli, calling the names of Krishna. Dhai tabo pache pache. I'm running after you, behind you.
Running behind you. Asking for these things.
Yeah.
Yes? Question.
So Maharaj talks about the six types of association. So I don't know, what is that? That is, does it say that
somewhere? Yeah, we said. Which one? Chaya Shachanga. Like the song?
Yes.
Why do you like it? Tell me, yeah. Specific. Specifics are interesting, generalities are put us to sleep, so please keep us awake.
Krishna, in the fourth verse, it says that Amito Kangal, in this world, you know, we have nothing, you know, all the material things that we have is actually doesn't count anything, but we have only Krishna, you know, we should call the names of Krishna.
Okay, somebody give a Sanskrit verse that describes this mood, that I don't have anything in this world, and that, yes, she needs a mic. Give us a really nice verse. Yes, akinchana means?
One who does not possess anything.
Yeah, but I don't have any asset in this world at all. Do any of you have any assets in this world? Well, practically speaking, I'm saying realistically. Do you have anything? Like? Bank balance? You think about it ever? Sometimes? Relationships? Car, all kinds of things, right? But akinchana means, kinchana means something. Akinchana means know something. I don't have anything. So this is the mood of the person who's eligible for begging very deeply for some mercy as akinchana. Can you say more about the verse, where it comes from?
In the prayers of Queen Kunti.
Yes, good.
She says that She addresses Krishna as Akinchana Gochara.
Yes.
That Krishna gives himself to a person who doesn't have anything.
Yes.
Otherwise doesn't have the mentality that he possesses anything, even
very good.
He or she possesses.
Yes, excellent. And who else can say what that verse is? Say more about the verse. Yes, that's right. You want to quote it? This is a very important verse. You're going to like this so much.
And I can give you the essence of it.
So
it's talking about Jam, which is high birth in a high family. Jam Aishwarya is opulence or fame. Jam Aishwarya Shruta Shribhi is high education and beauty. So Jam Aishwarya Shruta Shribhi, Ede Mana Madhapana. So all these, if a person has got all these, then his mind won't be attracted towards Krishna. It's only when you become Akinchan, when you have none of these, that you can focus
on. So he's saying that when you consider that I have these things, then you become intoxicated by them. You think, Janma, I have a better birth than other people. Janma, Aishwarya Shruti Shribhir Eda Mana Madhapana Naivarha Yavidatum Bhai Tum Kinchara Gochara. If you become intoxicated by these things, then you can't call out with sincere feeling. You're satisfied. You think, I'm okay. I have something to protect me in this world. But the feeling of akinchana means that's your qualification. I don't have anything in this world. Only dependent, fully dependent on Krishna and Guru. If one has that feeling, then one can call it a sincere feeling. Good, well done. Yes.
Even the next one's verse in Queen Kunti's prayer, it has the word akinchana.
Okay, let's look at the two verses. Verse numbers, please.
26 and 27.
Let's look at them. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare, He He He. Almost there. 7 seconds or less, or your money back from this class.
8:26 and 8:27.
Now you have to pay a rupee every time you look at a new verse now, the new website. Cost you 1 rupee. Okay, so this is, scroll down to the translation. My Lord, your Lordship can easily be approached, but only by those who are materially exhausted. One who is on the path of material progress, trying to improve himself with respectable parentage, great opulence, high education, and bodily beauty, cannot approach you with sincere feeling. Purport. Being materially advanced means taking birth in an aristocratic family and possessing great wealth, an education, and attractive personal beauty. All materialistic men are mad after possessing all these material opulences, and this is known as the advancement of material civilization. Srila Prabhupada once told one of his students, Hansadutta Prabhu, who was preaching in India, and he was experiencing that whenever he approached very rich people, that it was much more difficult. So Prabhupada told a story. He said, once in the jungle, the lion, who's the king of the jungle, got a bone stuck in his throat. So he put out a royal decree. Anyone who comes and takes this bone out of my throat, I will give you a royal boon. So all the animals got together and they said, I'm not going, I'm going to chance it. Who knows what might happen. But finally, a very brave crane approached the lion and said, I'll do it. So the lion opened his mouth, crane put his head way down into the neck of the lion, took the bone out, disposed of it, and then the lion looked at him and said, why are you still here? And the crane said, I'm waiting for my royal boon. He said, you just had your head in my mouth, and you want more of a boon than that? So Prabhupada says, similarly, when we teach Krishna consciousness to very wealthy people, oftentimes they think, well, hey, you have to see me. What else do you want? Why should I give anything else except my audience? So they could become puffed up. The result is by possessing all these material assets, one becomes artificially puffed up, intoxicated by such temporary possessions. Consequently, such materially puffed up persons are incapable of uttering the holy name of the Lord by addressing him feelingly. O Govinda, O Krishna, please say. Did you say feelingly? Try one more time. Did you all say it? One more time. Okay. O Govinda, O Krishna, it is said in the Shastras that by once uttering the holy name of the Lord, the sinner gets rid of a quantity of sins that he is unable to commit. Such is the power of uttering the holy name of the Lord. There is not the least exaggeration in this statement. Actually, the Lord's holy name has such powerful potency. But there is a quality to such utterances also. It depends on the quality of feeling. A helpless man can feelingly utter the holy name of the Lord, whereas a man who utters the same holy name in great material satisfaction cannot be so sincere. A materially puffed up person may utter the holy name of the Lord occasionally, but he is incapable of uttering the name in quality. Therefore, the four principles of material advancement, namely, 1, high parentage, 2, good wealth, 3, high education, and 4, attractive beauty, are, so to speak, disqualifications for the progress on the path, for progress on the path of spiritual advancement. The material coverings of the spirit soul is the material covering of the pure spirit soul is an external feature, as much as fever is an external feature of an unhealthy body. The general process is to decrease the degree of the fever and not to aggravate it by maltreatment. Sometimes it is seen that spiritually advanced persons become materially impoverished. This is no discouragement. On the other hand, such impoverishment is a good sign as much as the falling of temperature is a good sign. The principle of life should be to decrease the degree of material intoxication, which leads one to be more and more illusioned about the aim of life. Grossly illusioned persons are quite unfit for entrance into the kingdom of God. And then you wanted to see the next verse, right? Next one. Namo kinchana vittaya nivritta guna vittaye atma ramaya shantaya kaivalya pataye namaha. My obeisances are unto you who are the material, who are the property of the materially impoverished. You have nothing to do with the actions and reactions of the material modes of nature. You are self-satisfied, and therefore you are the most gentle and are the master of the monist. A living being is finished as soon as there is nothing to possess. Therefore, a living being cannot be, in the real sense of the term, a renouncer. A living being renounces something for gaining something more valuable. A student sacrifices his childish proclivities to gain better education. A servant gives up his job for a better job. Similarly, a devotee renounces the material world not for nothing, but for something tangible in spiritual value. Srila Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, and Srila Raghunath Das Goswami and others gave up their worldly pomp and prosperity for the sake of the service of the Lord. They were big men in the worldly sense. The Goswamis were ministers in the government service of Bengal, and Srila Raghunath Das Goswami was the son of a big zamindar of his time. But they left everything to gain something superior to what they previously possessed. The devotees are generally without material prosperity, but they have a very secret treasure house in the lotus feet of the Lord. There is a nice story about Srila Sanatana Goswami. He had a touchstone, and this stone was left in a pile of refuse. A needy man took it, but later on wondered why the valuable stone was kept in such a neglected place. He therefore asked Sanatana for the most valuable thing, and then he was given the holy name of the Lord. Akinchana means one who has nothing to give materially. A factual devotee or mahatma does not give anything material to anyone because he has already left all material assets. He can, however, deliver the supreme asset, namely the personality of Godhead, because he is the only property of a factual devotee. the touchstone of Sanatana Goswami, which was thrown in the rubbish, was not the property of the Goswami. Otherwise, it would not have been kept in such a place. This specific example is given for the neophyte devotees just to convince them that material hankerings and spiritual advancement go ill together. Unless one is able to see everything as spiritual in relation with the Supreme Lord, one must always distinguish between spirit and matter. A spiritual master like Srila Sanatana Goswami, although personally able to see everything as spiritual, set this example for us only because we have no spiritual vision. Advancement of material vision or material civilization is a great stumbling block for spiritual advancement. Such material advancement entangles the living being in the bondage of the material body, followed by all sorts of material miseries. Such material advancement is called anartha, or things not wanted. Actually, this is so. In the present context of material advancement, one uses lipstick at a cost of 50 cents. 50 cents. Now it's $50. And there are so many unwanted things which are all products of the material conception of life. By devoting attention to so many unwanted things, human energy is spoiled without achievement of spiritual realization, the prime necessity of human life. The attempt to reach the moon is another example of spoiling energy, because even if the moon is reached, the problems of life will not be solved. The devotees of the Lord are called akinchanas because they have practically no material assets. Such material assets are all products of the three modes of material nature. They foil spiritual energy. Look up the word foil. And thus, the less we possess such products of material nature, the more we have a good chance for spiritual progress. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has no direct connection with material activities. All his acts and deeds, which are exhibited even in this material world, are spiritual and without affection for the modes of material nature. I'll read that again. All his acts and deeds, which are exhibited even in this material world, are spiritual and without affection for the modes of material nature. That's an interesting concept, isn't it? Having affection for the modes of material nature. There's a way that the tiny living entity, although not part of the material world, looks upon the material nature, Hare Krishna, and develops an affection for various modes. And this is the sum and substance of the living entity's involvement in the material world. It becomes attached to the modes, and really Krishna gives, he could have created a world that just had a few choices, but because he's so kind, he gives us a material world that has practically, for all intents and purposes, unlimited choices. I mean, he could have just given three species we could have chosen from if we didn't want to be in a spiritual world. He could have just given, which three could he have given? They all have to start with C. Cat, okay. Cat, what else? Camel, and a catfish. So you could have just like transmigrated between a cat, a camel, and a catfish. And that's it. But he gave 8,400,000 species for us to transmigrate through. This is the way in which he's so kind, because whatever desire we have, he fulfills, isn't it? Where does that prove? Gives me some Sanskrit. Come on, you got to be chop chop. Jump right on it. That's your verse. It's Anushree's verse. Quote it.
Sapaya gach shukram akayam avrinam ashnaviram shutam apapa vidham kavi munishi paripus vayampur yata tatu toratan vedidaksh prasvati pyasamapya.
Very good. And just tell us the pertinent part that we're referring to now. What does that verse say that's pertinent to our discussion?
He Krishna fulfills everybody's desires.
Yeah, he's fulfilling everyone's desires since the time immemorial. That's what he does. He's so kind. So when I want some alternative to being his servant, then he gives me unlimited. He didn't have to end at 8,400,000 species of life. It's not that he would have been exhausted creating more. He could have done more. But for all intents and purposes, the variety that he's given us in this world is unlimited. And after experiencing so many different kinds of interactions with the modes of material nature in various combinations and permutations, one can then come to the point of saying, what in Spanish? No mas. I give up. I've tried it all. And therefore, the Vedanta Sutra says, Atato Brahma Jignasa. Therefore, because you've already tried it all, and it, you know, see for yourself, it didn't work. Now, surrender to Krishna. So someone has that affection for material nature still. They're not perfect candidate. To the degree that one has lost affection for the three modes of material nature, to that degree, these verses are saying one becomes a prime candidate for devotional service. So I don't have anything else in this world. Does that mean that person becomes bereft of everything? Shraddha doesn't agree with that. What does it mean, Shraddha?
I was just thinking that when you had made the comment that Krishna doesn't get attracted to the material energy, but the jiva soul does get attracted to it. Yeah. And I was thinking about the words from Brahma Samhita where it says that Krishna doesn't consort with the material energy, the illusion energy. And even for the purpose of creating this material world, he actually casts the glance through Rama, his eternal chit potency. So I was just thinking that if we do that as well, that we connect with the spiritual, then the material will get taken care of by itself.
Yeah, so a person who has no asset in the material world, then if connected with pure devotees, can develop the greatest asset at all, of all. Of course, if one doesn't have an inkling for devotional service and simply gives us material assets, one remains in a stranded condition. Bhagavatam points this out in several verses. Give me two prime verses that point out that if you take to a life of renouncing material assets, but you don't have a connection to the greatest spiritual asset, which is your relationship with Krishna, then you're stranded. That's my own language. You're stranded. You're not in a stable position. Let me put it that way. Give me two verses. I have them in my mind, so if you can do a Vulcan mind meld, you can know what I'm thinking. Yes, Govinda. Now keep in mind that whatever you say doesn't count until you say it into the mic. Definitely give Govinda a good mic.
Dharma swa alashtita punsam vikshvak swena katha swaya na utpadayate yati ratim Shrama evhi kevalam. So, I think one from the first canto.
Yes, first canto, second chapter.
Yeah, 1-2-something.
And?
Dharma sva anushthita pumsam. If a man carries out his religious duties, but doesn't evoke or somehow develop a love for hearing Harikatha, Vikshvakshena kathasoya na utpadayate yati ritim, somehow doesn't develop an attraction for Harikatha. Shrama eva hi kevalam. It was mere donkey's labor.
Very good. Excellent. So this verse says that if you do everything perfectly in your dharma, religious duties, you don't get rati for Krishna katha, attraction for hearing, then it's useless. Shrama, it's shrama, useless labor. Eva, he, kevalam. Three emphatics. That definitely, without question, absolutely. You got something cooking over here, I can tell. Give us a verse. Now, what we're proving here through the Shastra is that you may give up the material world, but if you don't have a connection to Krishna Katha, which means having a connection to Krishna, then you're going to be stranded, and you're not in a good position. Yes?
It's from the first canto.
It's naishkarmyam api achutta bhava varjitam.
That's it.
Nashobate jnanam adam niranjanam. Kuta puna shashvat abhadram ishvare. Nacharpitam karma yadapi akaranam.
Yes.
It means that naishkarmyam, if this process of self-realization is without achutta bhava, means without Supreme Personality of Godhead, it doesn't look good. Nashobate jnanam adam niranjanam. Kuta buna shashvat abhadram ishvare. Nacharpitam karma yadapi akaranam. And then what to talk of, you know, materialistic activities. It's like that. What to talk of, you know, karma, karmic. What to talk, something like that it goes. So.
Well, what to talk, he did, the people at home didn't hear what he said. You want to finish the thought? Give him a mic. Go ahead. Call a friend, help him out.
You want to?
Yeah. So, Prabhupada is getting, saying is, the materially motivated activities are always inauspicious. Shashvat abhadram, it says. So, always inauspicious.
Yes, so this verse is also right on the money. Naishkarmyam apyachuta bhava vartishtav. Nashobate gyanma ramyaranjanam. Kutakmana shashvat abhadramishvare. Nacharpitam karma yadapyakaranam. So, it says here, if you become naishkarmyam, you give up everything in the material world. But you don't have a chutta bhava, which means you haven't developed that feeling of emotion for serving Krishna. Then, nashobate, it's not beautiful. Aratiko shoba. It doesn't look good. And then goes on to say, what to speak of people who take up material activities. That's just foolishness. It's for the fools. There's one more verse I'm thinking.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, not really a verse, but I was just thinking that in Bhagavad Gita it's mentioned that the byproducts of devotional service are knowledge and renunciation. So does to the degree that we progress in devotional service, to that degree do we renunciate automatically because they are byproducts of devotional service?
Yes, but you have to prove it with the Sanskrit verse. You have it?
This verse is from Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Okay.
She quote
we'll take
times.
That.
Bhukti mukti siddhikami
You got it?
Yeah.
Say it with confidence, even if you do it wrong, say it with confidence. That
bhukti mukti siddhikami sakalev ashanta Krishna bhakta nishkama atayva shanta.
Yes, but it goes in reverse order. Krishna bhakti nishkam atayva shanta. Bhukti mukti siddhikami sakale ashanta. So, this is very good. Tell us why you picked that verse.
Because the idea is, if the material progress brings miseries, then we give up all the material opulence, and it should give some kind of pleasure. But even those people who renounce it, mukti, like those who are in path of liberation,
yes.
Even they are not peaceful.
Yes.
Because they also have the desire to become one with the Lord.
Very well done.
So only those people, only devotees who don't have any material desires,
okay.
Not even to become one with the Lord,
okay.
They are the ones who are actually peaceful.
Yeah, that's good. But we also want proof for the other concept. The other concept we just heard was, if you take the direct process of bhakti, then naturally you'll become detached from the material activities. I want two verses. And fast. It should be right in the tip of your tongue. Arigato. Okay, Govinda, go ahead. But more widespread, if you can't think of the verses, then go grab yourself a verse book. We need more.
I just had it. What?
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, I don't remember.
वासुदेव भगवती भगवत भक्ति प्रयोजिता जनयति आशु वैराग्यम ज्ञानम च अहेतुकम.
Yes, this is the verse. This verse from the first canto, second chapter. Vasudev Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janaya Yashuvairagyam Jnanam Chayarahitukam means if you perform bhakti, then as a concomitant, you get jnana and vairagya. It happens very quickly also. One more verse, please. Yes. From the internet. Okay, we got some pundits checking in here. Who's from the internet? Who is it?
Sorry. Someone you like.
Vaikuntha Nayaka.
Malini Mataji.
Oh, Malini. Okay.
Since this is from Srimad Bhagavatam Chatushloki, he's quoting 2.9.34.
Okay, 2.9.34, Chatushloki.
Grite ritam yat pratyeta na pratyeta chatmani tad vidyat atmano nayam yatha bhaso yatha tamaha. And so she's, the translation is, Krishna speaking to Brahma, O Brahma, whatever appears to be of any value, if it is without relation to me, has no reality. Know it as my illusory energy, that reflection it appears to be in darkness.
And what is the context in which she's giving that verse? What is it proving?
That if it's not related to Krishna, then it doesn't have any value.
That doesn't have any value. Very good. Okay, so the verse I'm thinking of, he knows. It's 11th canto.
It's 10.2.32.
Okay, 10.2.32 also I was thinking of. Yeah, go ahead. This verse is quoted very frequently to prove this point, and that is that if you don't have a relationship with Krishna, and that comes out in the first line, yeni aravindaksha. Aravindaksha means that the lotus-eyed Lord. So this is very beautiful. There's a personal relationship we have with the Lord. That's why he's mentioned with two eyes. Where in the Upanishads does it mention that the Lord has a face? Pundits? Chop, chop, you got to be fast. Come on, come on, come on.
Hiranmayini Patrina Satyasya.
Microphone, microphone.
Hiranmayena patena satyapitam mukam tena tyakti
tatvam pushan
tatvam pushan bhavenu satyadharma dishtaye.
Meaning?
Oh my Lord, please remove the dazzling effulgence covering your face.
Yes, exactly. So this verse from the Upanishads proves that the Lord has a face. This is important because it's a person. And the most beautiful person with unlimited qualities. And we have a relationship there. So this verse says, Yini Aravindaksha Vimukta Maninas. If somebody thinks they can have a liberation without having the relationship with the lotus-eyed Supreme Personality of Godhead, then they're mistaken. This is called Avashuddha Buddhaya. Their intelligence is impure. And what happens? Arya Krishna. Krishna means hard work. They work very hard to get liberated. Like the Brahma Samhita says that yogis sometimes they drill the respiration over many thousands of years to try to come to the point of perfect consciousness. Which verse says that? Say? Use the mic or it doesn't count. No points.
Vayora thapi manaso munipungavanam sopyasti prapadasimya vichinta tattve govindavadi purusham tamam bhajami.
Yes, the munipungavanam means the best of the munis. They drill the respiration, they try so hard, and they can't approach even the tip, the toes, the lotus feet of the Lord. By that process of their own endeavor, they can't reach that. So those who go off on their own and they don't take the mercy, they don't accept the grace descending from the Lord through the process of devotional service, they work very hard, no doubt. Arya Krishna Parampadam Tata Patantyato means, Patanti means to fall, Ado means again. So they reach this level, but then again they fall back down again. Patantyato Nadrita Yushmanangaya, because they failed to achieve shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord. So this is a very important verse. You may even get some liberation into impersonal Brahman. Because of lack of service, you become agitated at some point and then come back down where? To the material world, start working at Home Depot. Fate worse than death. And there, well, it's actually worse to shop there, but no offense, anybody. Yes, Govinda.
Maharaj, actually there was a nice verse, related verse from Kapil Devahuti Samvad,
yes,
that came to mind. Devahuti says that na yat karma dharmaya na viragaya kalpate na mukunda angri sevayai jivanapi mrato hi saha. So she says that one who does karma, if that person should actually get attracted towards dharma and eventually should develop renunciation. But even if that person doesn't develop, doesn't execute service towards Mukunda Angri, towards the lotus feet of Lord, Jivanapi Mrito Hisa, so even while living, that person is dead.
Even while living, the person is dead. Very good. Nice citation. So there's sufficient evidence from the Shastra to show that you have to, first of all, have a relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, have complete renunciation, that if you, even as a beginner, take the process of bhakti, then you naturally develop detachment from the world. Yes, you have another one. From the 11th canto, right?
No.
Okay.
I had from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu.
That will work.
Anasaktasya vishayan yathartham upayumjataha nirbandha krishna sambandhe yuktam vairagyamuchyate, and then prapanchaya chikkataya buddhya hari sambandhi vastunaha mumukshabhi parityago vairagyam falgukathyate. So the when one is not attached to anything but at the same time accepts anything in relation to Krishna, one is rightly situated above possessiveness. On the other hand, one who rejects everything without knowledge of its relationship to Krishna is not as complete in his renunciation.
Okay, expound on why you picked that verse.
So, false renunciation, if we have something which we can use for Krishna, even if it is material, we should make use of it, because if you reject that and we are not using it in the service of Krishna, that kind of renunciation is false renunciation.
Very good, very good. Nice citation. Sukeshri, and yeah?
I was remembering Anya Vilashita Shunyam. Anya Vilashita Shunyam Jnana Karmadi Anavritam Anukuliyena Krishnano Shilanam Bhakti Ruptamam. I mean, anything that is not related to Krishna, Anya Abhilasha, I might have a desire that is not related to Krishna. It could be to achieve, you know, good karma or moksha and whatever. That's not really what a person should look for. Anukuliyena means it has to be related, it has to be something that will get you towards Krishna or for Krishna, things that you do for Krishna. That is the highest among everything that you do.
It's favorable. It's favorable, but it's meant to serve Krishna. And important in that verse also is the verb shil. Shil means a cultivation. So the acharyas explain that the cultivation takes place on two levels. One is internally and the other is externally. The Goswami showed through their activities, tat tat karma pravartanat, the various activities that one does externally. For instance, Sanatana and Rupa Goswami, they wrote books, they excavated holy places, they built temples and so forth, which means they had to do a lot of paperwork. They had to wear a hard hat to go out there. These are very practical external activities that they did to, as shil, to cultivate. And then internally, there's a way in which one learns to meditate on Krishna and to remember him and to remember one's service to him and so forth, to render service within one's mind and heart. So if one does so, then naturally, Anyabhilashita Shunyam, the definition of devotional service is that it's performed favorably in that way. Yeah, so there's the positive side. It's not that there's nothing to do once one renounces the idea of enjoying the things in the material world. In fact, the ocean of material happiness opens to such a person who then realizes that everything is can be used in Krishna's service. You had a point.
Hare Krishna, thank you, Maharaj. I don't know what the verse is, but I was listening to the second chapter of the first canto, and there's a point where it's like all occupational duties can be used for liberation. And I think that just builds on this idea that anything past the occupational duties that we already have is just an accumulation that's unnecessary and just a distraction. So.
Dharmasya hyapavargasya nartarto yopakalpate nartasya dharmaikantasya kamulabhaya hismitaha. Maybe that's the verse? Yes? Dharma swanustita pumsam vishrakshana katasuya no pari yadyadiratim shrame vihi kevalam. Give your idea again. That the occupational duties that we do are meant for ultimate liberation. Right?
Yes, and that anything that we do beyond that is just an unnecessary hankering that we have where we it's an affection that we've developed where we are pushing, and it's...
Yeah, sure. Dharmas... Kamasya nindriya pritya labo jivete yavata jivasya tapha jignasya narto yascheha karma. Life's desire should never be aimed at sense gratification. One should desire to live only a healthy life of self-preservation. For that, it gives one the opportunity to inquire about the absolute truth. This should be the goal of one's work. Yes, very good. Okay. So, now we're going to... Yes? Oh, you have one more in the 11th canto. In the 11th canto, it's also mentioned that if one engages in the process of bhakti, then naturally one develops a detachment from all things that are material. And it gives an analogy there that if you're hungry and you eat food, then you naturally feel satisfied and your hunger goes away and you're also nourished. Correct? Who knows the verse? Bhakti parushana bhava virakti anyata traisha trika eka karo prapadyamanasi yatashna tashus tushti pushti shura payunagasam. It's just a perfect analogy, because it says when you're hungry and you eat food, then you become nourished, satisfied, and your hunger goes away with every bite. And in a similar way, if you perform bhakti, prapadyamanasya, prapadyamanasya translated as surrender to Krishna, prapadyamanasya means that you approach him. That's you're approaching him in the proper way. Prapadyamanasya yatashna tashus. So in a similar way, if you surrender to Krishna, then you naturally feel sense of bhakti, and you see Krishna directly for yourself, and you become detached from all things that aren't related to Krishna in a very natural way. Yes, Sukeshwari?
I have a question. So Lord Katwang Maharaj, we say that he just achieved perfection in just one moment. So I was wondering that this is just out of curiosity, because it seems like for me, I hear from other devotees too, it takes forever to get rid of, all the anarthas you have, and, it takes forever to get rid of your old conditionings, and you're still attached to so many things that is material. So I was just wondering, is it that Katwang Maharaj, was... It just took one moment to completely purify.
You're talking about Katvanga?
Yeah.
Yes.
Or is it that he had a lot of lifetimes where he had to purify, and then the last moment is what we are thinking about?
Yeah, I saw a poster in the airport in Bangkok. It was at a sporting goods store. It had a picture of an athlete. I don't know who he was because I don't follow, I'm sorry to say this, football. Soccer. And, or whatever it's called. That's World Cup, right? Yeah, I didn't follow it. I'm happy to say. Anyway, he's a famous footballer. And he said, I became an overnight success after 17 years. And so many people become overnight successes after many, many lifetimes.
Rupa Goswami puts this in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, said if one's taken to devotional service with some enthusiasm in this life, it means that he or she has been in contact in previous lives as well. Krishna says something similar in the Bhagavad Gita, where he mentions that purva samskar, that from previous lives, one has experience in this life, one naturally revisits that and has the impetus to take to devotional service, because I've already done devotional service previously. And you'll find some people, if you present the most beautiful aspects of devotional service, they'll simply walk away. They're not interested at all. They have no impetus for it, because they don't have any agyata sukriti. But this is something that's pointed out in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that when somebody gets some qualification by association with sadhus, even unknowingly, this comes up in the story of Maitreya. He was more of a gyani, but somehow or other he ran into Krishna and Uddhava speaking about intimate topics and proper rites. This can only be because of agyata sukriti, previous credits that he had. So we find in these cases that it's, if someone's able to suddenly culminate their devotional practice, then it's because they've previously performed devotional service and there's an accumulation that fructifies. It comes up in the Bhakti Sandarbha also, the story of what's his name? He built that temple in the near Govinda Bazaar in Vrindavan. Lal Babu. Yeah, Lal Babu is walking down the road, wealthy industrialist, and then a sweeper woman calls to her daughter and says something, now's the time. And he just hears the words, and then he thinks, yeah, now's the time, I should surrender to Krishna. Because at that time the accumulation of bhakti unmukhi sukriti, then he's inspired, now completely surrendered. Lal Babu is mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion that he is an example of humility. Although he was a wealthy man, then he went begging door to door, a few rupees here and there, and he built that temple, that beautiful temple, or Lal Babu Mandir that's there in Vrindavan. Have you seen it? Near Gopinath Bazaar. Lal Babu. And so generally we hear that somebody is able to do that within a second. On the other hand, we also know that the living entity at any time can use his independence to surrender to Krishna or to turn away from Krishna. That's what makes life interesting. Otherwise, if everything was predestined, why would we even try? But the fact is, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, surrender to me, I'll deliver you. And so Prabhupada gives this scenario, that you're a poor man, and a rich man comes and has a bag of money. How much in it? $1 billion. But I was thinking, how would you fit $1 billion? I don't know what denominations they'd be, but let's just say it was $1 billion in one bag, and says, it comes in a gift card. Okay. Hopefully not from Home Depot. And says, okay, here, I got you this. Take it. So your choice is there. You take it or don't take it. And Krishna's offering to everybody, every living entity, that you take this. I'll just take care of you. You don't have to worry anymore. Why struggle in the material world? So now you could take it or not take it. You do have that prerogative as a living entity, because you have free will, you're not a dead stone. Therefore, you can choose at any time, I'll surrender to Krishna. So both things can be there. Yes, Prabhu?
So, I just wanted to say, I like the point you said, the quality of utterance, that is really nice.
Yes, and Prabhupada brings that out in his commentary on the verses which yad namadeha, shravanana kirtanad, yad pravanad, yad smaranad, apikuchit, shwadhopi sadhya shravanaya kopate, kutakmanas te bhagavanu darshana. These are two famous verses. Then the next one, ahobata shwapachito garyan, which are from Devahuti, speaking to her exalted son, Kapila Dev. And she's exalting the power of the holy name and saying how wonderful it is that even if somebody's in a lowly position as a shvapacha, a dog cooker, that person becomes eligible to do Vedic sacrifices because by saying the holy name, one is freed from all past sinful activities, one's karma changes. Vidauti Vedaha means the Vedas all say that if you take to the process of chanting Hare Krishna, then you can be purified of even your prarabdha karma, which means your present body changes and you're in a different category. You're no longer a person who's carrying around a sinful material body, but it becomes, you take on as you practice, a sadaka deha. And so this is an established fact. It's very clearly stated by the previous acharyas, Sridhar Swami, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, they all agree this is a fact. Because there's an argument about that, isn't it? Sometimes in India people say, no, if you want to become a brahmana, you have to take another birth. If you're a low birth, now you have to take birth as a brahmin, then you can start. But the acharyas say, no. If you chant the holy name, then your prarabdha karma is eradicated, and you're purified. And these two verses prove it from the Bhagavatam. But Prabhupada says it depends on the sincerity of the utterance of the person. When you're chanting Hare Krishna, the effectiveness depends on how deeply you utter the holy name, what circumstances you utter the holy name in. For instance, if you know about the power of the holy name and then you take it for granted and you say that I can go on committing sinful activities, trying to enjoy the material world, and therefore I'll chant Hare Krishna and eradicate it because of its power, then you're committing an offense. And when you chant, you don't get the same effect. This is nama-parata. But if you're innocent and you say the holy name of the Lord, then there's a very powerful effect from nama-bhasa. And if you're a sincere practitioner who's initiated in the process of chanting the holy name by a bona fide spiritual master, which is Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur points out is important in taking to the sincere chanting the holy name, and you're chanting as a kinchana, like I don't have anything else, I'm fully dependent on the holy name, then it's very quickly effective. So the quality of the utterance is very important. Thanks for bringing that point out. Prabhu.
One more verse, actually, because we are doing chant in Kartik month, chapter 5, so it just came up to my mind, is like, Sanyasastu Mahabaho, Dukham Aptuma Yogata, Yoga Yukta Munir Brahma, Na Chirima Adhigachati. As you said, that when we are doing renouncement externally, but it is very difficult and it's troublesome for the body. On the other hand, a muni, a thinker who is attached to Krishna, is following yoga, he approaches the Supreme without delay.
Without delay. Very good. Nicely done. And also a good testimonial for Chad. He's a poster boy, poster child for Chad. So now we'll take a 5-minute break. During the break, please meet somebody that you haven't talked to before in your life, or somebody you haven't talked to in a while, and find out from them what one reflection or question they have that will bring the conversation to a new level. And when we reconvene, you share what the interlocutor has told you was their main reflection or question. Are you ready?
Yes.
On your mark?
Yes.
Get set? Go. Okay. I know what torture it is to have spiritual conversations with your friends. And so the person I talked to was Hansapriya. And she told me that this morning when she was driving to the temple at 4 a.m., she came to a stoplight that seems to stay red forever. You ever come to those? You're there and it's like, wow. So you're sitting, waiting, just thinking, trying to be on time to the temple. And then finally the light turned green. And she went through. And then she had this realization that then somebody had planned it, that it would turn green at a certain time and would let her through. There was a design behind that. So then she was thinking about her whole life and her spiritual life and how there are so many people behind the fact that she's gotten a green light to move forward in spiritual life. And it's by design. Everything's taking place from a higher level, from Krishna's mercy, the mercy of the devotees. So many great saints have designed a path, a green light, to open our way so we can move forward. So just from that experience of moving through the green light, she was feeling very grateful and remembering that how she can move forward in her spiritual life is really the mercy of Krishna and the saints. Okay, what else did you get? Yes. Did you find someone you never talked to before?
Yes. It's been a long time. talking to Govinda Priya Mantaji.
And I noticed that there's so many great saints have come here from north of San Francisco. Great to see you all.
She was saying that in yesterday's Vyasa Puja, they were hearing some clip from Radhanath Swami where someone was asking Maharaj that if the chanting is so powerful and all, but I've been chanting for 30 years, 40 years, but don't seem to get the taste for it. So it's in relation to what you were saying too, that conversation. So Maharaj was saying that, like, when we compare to eternity, what is this 20, 30 years? Mm-hmm. So means through patience it works, because and I was also relating to what you just said, that everything is designed. We have to be patient, and like she was waiting there until it turned green. So that I think was very much relevant.
Thank you very much for relating that, and I'd just like to offer some other thoughts about that patience. Last night was an extremely emotionally charged night for me, because I attended the grand opening of the new ISKCON temple in San Francisco. Thanks to Navina Nirada Prabhu, to Ananta Chaitanya Prabhu, to Rahini Nandan Prabhu, to Bhakta Alex? Alex, and others. I'm sorry to miss whatever their names are, but you know, they've been working hard for the last several years making a plan to establish a place in San Francisco. Actually, the genesis for me was sitting with Navina Nirada Prabhu at Govardhan several years ago. I just have this time at Kartik. I meet with devotees. We talk about things besides having time to read. We sometimes have time to talk. And he was open to the world because he's done a lot of service in the world. He was the world book distribution minister for some years. He traveled all over the world. He knows his way around. And at this particular time, he was saying, like, I have no set engagement. What should I do? And I brought up San Francisco. And then we started talking about it. I said, why don't you come to San Francisco and try? And it was a long haul. There was a lot of paperwork that had to be done. He's not an American citizen. He didn't have a green card and the whole thing. So one thing led to another, but there are many small little battles we had to fight, you know, just to move forward in that agenda with no idea of how we would be successful. We just knew it would be. And one of the reasons we knew it would be was Ramnath Maharaj had said, you know, he had also made a proclamation that there should be a center in San Francisco. So I told Naveen, if Maharaj said it, it'll come to pass. Because whatever Maharaj says is always successful, what says or does. So, you know, he came, he tried, other devotees came, they struggled for some time. And last night was such a beautiful opening, a very sublime place they have. It's not opulent, but it's sublime. It's in a beautiful little neighborhood. It's right next to the Justice Building in San Francisco, which I thought was very appropriate. And it's very neat, clean, sattvic, and there was a temple room last night full of very enthusiastic bhaktas, very happy to have the center. And so I was thinking about patience and how we may have some objective in mind in our devotional practice, for instance, chanting with taste or self or others, and we have to take step at a time and go through the stages and wait and see when it will manifest by Krishna's arrangement. Be very determined and patient and move forward. What other things did you come? Yes.
I met Tushar Kant Prabhu. So he's been coming for a few times now. He's from Fremont, where I am from. So his realization was that, you know, you can have a lot of power in this material world, lot of money, but you don't get that happiness, you know. So that happiness is not there in all these material things. So that's what his realization was.
That's a powerful realization. Thank you very much for sharing that. Okay.
Yeah, my friend Sri Gopal Das had a interesting look at stuff. It was like, look, it's not that we don't have avenues for self-realization and improvement. There are a lot of avenues for self-realization and improvement, like this place and, you know, Bhagavad Gita is contemplable. It's for us to figure out how to take advantage of it and improve ourselves. So the reason people are miserable in their life is not because there is no way out. It's because they don't make an effort to actually move forward on the path to get where they want to.
Ooh, that's a really nice one. So the facility may be there, but we have to take the initiative to make sure that we're able to advance. Prabhupada mentions in one of his purports that when someone learns to fly a plane, they go up and fly for quite some time, a required number of hours with an instructor, for good reason. You know, you don't want to send somebody up there alone the first time. And after they've developed and they feel confident, then they go on a solo flight. And there's always a first solo flight for somebody. And Prabhupada mentions that we have opportunities during our lifetime to take advantage of association and the practice of devotional service, but at the time of death, we're flying solo. And we really do have to depend on how we've contributed to the process of devotional service using our own impetus throughout our lifetime. This is also mentioned in that verse in the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Prayana Kale Manasa Chalena Paktya Yukta Yoga Balina Chaiva Bruva Madhe Prana Mavesha Samya Satam Param Purusham Upaiti Divyam. This indicates how the yogis at the time of leaving the body have the strength of mind to bring their focus right between the two eyebrows and then think of the spiritual world and then transfer themselves there. And Prabhupada says that any person who's practicing yoga must do so with great vigor throughout one's lifetime in order to have the strength at the time of leaving the body to be able to be self-determining, to think of Krishna and not become confused and lose one's focus. Okay, other points? Yes. Right behind you, Rekha.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I met with Apra Manjati Mataji and Shubha Mataji here. We were talking about
She was reflecting on a point you said about the quote of the sports person. To become an overnight success, he practiced for 17 years.
Yes.
Similarly, this is in line with what Gandharika Mataji spoke about. What is 40 years of chanting compared to eternity of Janmas? We were to request you to enlighten us on how to improve the quality of chanting. She was telling that you had sent some cards on how to chant better. We were wondering if you could just enlighten us on the same.
Yeah. Time for a seminar, Shraddha said. Well, you know, when you do a seminar, it brings awareness to the chanting. One of the difficulties of any discipline is taking it for granted and then doing it by rote and forgetting to be conscious that you're doing it. That's the greatest enemy of a ritual, is that you forget that you're doing it. And anything that brings your attention back to the importance of chanting is helpful. One aspect of seminars that you can isolate and implement on your own is studying the mantra, because the mind really has to be interested in it to be really successful. And for the mind to be interested in something, it wants to know what's in it for me. That's why we might cut out a coupon, or we might go to the travel agency and say, I want to go to where? Rancho Cucamonga. Because I read about Rancho Cucamonga, and I have to go there because it's just an amazing place. People read about Bhutan. Bhutan is the cleanest country because they have all kinds of environmental regulations, and they're very careful about who they let into their country and so forth. And people say, I want to go to Bhutan. So they hear about it and want to go there. So similarly, if you take a little time to hear about what the holy name is, then at the time when you're chanting, your mind will tend to be attracted because you'll think there's something in it here. Nambina kichinahiku ora chota bhuvanamaje. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, keep in mind, there's nothing in the three worlds to be had except for the holy name. If I'm thinking like that when I'm chanting, that everything's here, I don't have to go anywhere else, and the mind can stay home and chant with you. And the other aspect that's always helpful is association. If you can sit with other devotees and chant, for instance, make a little japa circle, find a few devotees enthusiastic, and maybe once a month, once a week, sit in a circle and chant together. You'll notice that it's a lot easier to chant. And when you go home by yourself, and there are a lot of temptations around that can distract your attention, it's easy enough to get up and to give in to those temptations, and then you break your chanting. But if you take time regularly to meet with devotees and make a japa circle, then you'll find that it's much more successful. Do you think that's a good idea?
Yes.
Let's try it. So break up into, on this side of the room, you can break up into three circles and sit in a circle, bring your japa bag. All the men over here, break up into four circles. And kids, make one circle. But do it fast, and get into the circle as quick as you can. If you don't have your bead bag, you can chant on your fingers. And the main thing is, we're going to chant one round together in a circle. And try to help each other by staying focused on your own chanting so that you spread that that good influence to others. Any question? Are you all ready? There's a question on the internet later on. Okay. So those of you at home, please take your bead bags. If you're watching, get your bead bag out. No, it's over on the other side, to the left. Okay, got it. Now come back and sit with us in front of the screen. Pick one of the groups to focus in on and pretend that you're in the group and that you're chanting in your group, okay? Okay, so we'll finish one round together, and when you do, you just stop and wait until everybody else finishes, because it might be a little uneven, and then we'll get back together and share our experience. Are you ready? Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
So it felt like it created a circle of vibration that you could not get out of it. The pronunciation was clear. You know, when you hear the vibration that, and you, it was really hard to even if the mind wandered, it was very easy to come back into the vibration.
You caught in the web, eh?
Yes.
Okay.
Maharaj, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hello.
Can you
hello? Dili.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Some time ago, on a Sunday feast lecture, you had given a seminar on chanting, and you had mentioned 5 P's of powerful chanting. In that, my Kaliyuga brain remembers 3.
That's all there is.
Oh, there is 3. Yeah. Okay, I thought I was missing one.
Yuga brain's doing just fine.
Just fine, thank you. So there was pronunciation, posture, and prayer for me.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Pronunciation, posture, and prayer.
So whenever I try to remind myself, it really helps, like being in prayerful mood.
Yes.
Yeah.
It really does. So pray. Govinda?
Just wanted to say this, almost same thing what Sri Govind Prabhu said. What I felt was that the oral reinforcement was very strong. Sometimes we struggle just because of rote and being more mechanical, you know, we might struggle with it. We might not want to hear our voice, but when we are with others, we do hear others' voices. So that aparadha for that, you know, apipramadaha, that, you know, inattentive chanting, yeah, is minimalized.
Yes. You know, Krishna has energies, right? And he expands them everywhere. Am I correct about that?
Yes.
Yeah? Yes. Okay, so similarly, living entities also have energies. And you'll notice if you're with the right living entities, that you'll be able to take advantage of their energies. And so when you're with living entities who are chanting Hare Krishna, you sit in a circle, all the energy compiles right there, and you're able to actually fly. You can get in there and you can fly on the mantra. It will actually pull you up and take you away. And this is a good opportunity to hear the mantra in that association. Okay, there were a few others. Yes.
Usually at home when I chat alone with my dad, it always feels like it's not as like I sometimes want to be doing something else or I'm not really into it. But here it felt much better with like everyone surrounding me in a row and just one big circle.
Okay, good. You felt the energy. Shraddha?
So, Maharaj, I noticed the power of unison, that I was trying to go on my own very fast pace, and then I realized that others were slow, so I slowed down and then caught up with them. And then I realized that my circle had actually become bigger, because there were others in the room also chanting at the same speed.
Mm.
And then my mind did wander, because I was thinking about that we made circles over here, and what about those who are watching us online? And then mind went and said, oh, I should look for some technology that allows them to form groups on Facebook and WhatsApp. Yeah. So mind, yeah.
Well, check and see if anybody can tell us online how the experience was. Pass the mic back.
Maharaj, it's one good thing I noticed is it's like a symphony, you know, this, and it's like a chorus, And the mind is like a wild dog, it wants to go everywhere. But in the company of that symphony and chorus, and it is, there is a possibility that you can bring back your intelligence and focus on the chanting.
Kali kuku kana jari chao. It's a song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He says that the mad dog Kali can be tamed by or scared away. Which one is it? Kali kuku kana jari chao. Kali jugapava na kali panashana. She sachi nandana gao he. The dog flees. If you want to get rid of the menace of the dog, you chant Hare Krishna. There's some dog analogies there. Okay, yes, Prabhu.
Yeah, what I found was something very interesting. When I went in that particular, group chanting, I actually was not chanting. I was very tired, was very quiet. But even when you're quiet and others are chanting in a rhythm, very peaceful.
Peaceful?
Yes, it's very peaceful. It's okay. Not like you have to be chanting. Just listening to people kind of helps you calm down.
Yes, you kind of get carried along right behind you.
So Guru Maharaj, I will be very honest here. And the others are also honest. Actually, when you group chant, you are socially conscious. So you make an extra effort to make sure you are heard very carefully. So you kind of slow down and just, make sure you stress on every syllables of the mantra. And if you finish early, then again you are socially conscious and you want to make sure that you don't do anything else like looking into your iPhone or anything, but here's what others are chanting attentively.
Here's some of the benefits of Vaishnava Sangha. Otherwise, is chanting Gayatri, people go faster, slower, but everyone always finishes at the same time. How does that happen? So they're waiting and like, when's he going to finish? He's done? Okay, I'm done too. But whether socially conscious, whatever conscious, at least you're conscious. That's the main thing. Because the enemy to chanting is unconscious chanting. And if you're one way or another, you remain aware that you're chanting, then there's a much higher level at which the holy name penetrates and we're able to hear the mantra, just being aware that I'm chanting. Because it's possible by yourself, if you develop bad habits, that you can chant and then not be aware that you're even chanting. Your mind can be going in a lot of different places. You can even go through 16 rounds. And at the end of it, really, you thought about all the emails you're supposed to send and how you have to have interview at work, what you're going to have for breakfast. We had that yesterday. I'm going to have something different today. And there's so many things that you can think about and you didn't actually get that connection with the Holy Name because you weren't conscious. So, yes.
So I actually really, same thing, I appreciate the being conscious of it of other people and the fact that you want to stay synchronized with each other because you have a responsibility to the people next to you or in the group that you want to stay thinking about it because if your mind wanders then the flow of it starts to get kind of all over the place. So being conscious of each other forces me to continue to focus.
Nice.
So one of the things which helps when you are alone is start Prabhupada's chanting together. And then sometimes Prabhupada said, sit straight, So it also helps,
Sit properly. Come on.
Hare Krishna. What I felt during the chanting was it was very beautiful and very serene.
And I actually liked the non-synchronicity of the groups. Kind of, I felt everybody was going at a, there was this, I don't know what it's called, like a whirlpool kind of an effect. Like everybody was doing a different thing at the different time. It was very intense. And usually I chant with my eyes open, like, you know, I want to see, you know, Radha. So my eyes was dancing between Krishna and Radha, and it was just going. And then suddenly my eyes focused on all the devotees' faces in my group, and everybody was looking so beautiful. Like, you know, that's what I felt when I was chanting.
What if we could really get intense. A Japa circle going in all of Silicon Valley? Like one day, everybody in Silicon Valley agreed to chant one round together in the whole city, stop the Winnowing Freeway, no airplanes taking off, complete concentration in the whole valley for 7 minutes. And everybody chants one round of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Oh, what do you think? Whole Silicon Valley.
It won't be called Silicon Valley.
It will be called?
Japa Valley or something.
Japa Valley. Napa Valley, Japa Valley. We can dream of these things. Okay, anything from this side? Kid circle.
I saw that like every time I would start like slouching or like I would just like slow down and just like stop, I would like open my eyes and see that everybody else is sitting up straight and chanting with their eyes closed, so that like kind of made me to also close my eyes and sit up straight and have good posture. So
yes, it's a powerful energy from the group, right? So we can work these into our schedule, some japa circles if you all like, because that'll help. Even if you do it intervals, it'll remind you of even one session, one round, even a few mantras where you feel full traction in your chanting can help you when you go back, because then you'll remember that it's possible and the holy name will help you. Should go, Paul?
I think probably you've been mentioning about this concept about, you know, sitting in the circles for some time now.
Yes.
I think I had an idea that we should do like maybe once a month, like Saturday, maybe call it a Super Saturday, where devotees can come for even for Mangalarti as well, so that, you know, there is some kind of synergy, and then we can come for Mangalarti and then we can sit in the circle and do japa also.
Okay. Deal. We'll announce, we can talk it over, the details, and then figure out a time that's easy for everybody to come for at least. I would say if we had 20 minutes to half an hour, that would start with a goal that's not too ambitious, that where we could come together for some japa circles. Maybe you could sign up ahead of time, put your name in, you'll be assigned to a circle or something like that, or whatever. We'll figure something out, and then we can use the japa circle. And also Shraddha called for a japa seminar. We can work that in. Even in, if we have short segments of teachings about the science of japa and how to do it properly, that will help also in the long run. Last point.
I actually have a question.
Okay.
It doesn't relate to japa, it relates to the verses. But where do we start on those, on memorizing verses?
Where do you start?
Where do we start, yeah.
Well, there are a few really important verses that we do normally every day that you can learn. We have a series of teachings about this on a website called Bhakti Roots. The Bhakti Roots course. Don't we, Shraddha, have that? And there we've listed some of the most important of verses. For instance, the pranam verses, Prabhupada's pranam mantra, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale, etc. And there's others like that. If you learn the basic mantras and go deeply within them, then they'll be very meaningful for you. For instance, Mangalarti, we sing Guru Vashtakam, It's 8 verses. Actually, there's 9, but we don't sing the 9th one in ISKCON. Prabhupada didn't really introduce it, but it's a really nice verse, benediction verse at the end. And in those 9 verses, if you go deeply within them and learn them, you'll find that when you sing them, they're actually very meaningful, and you'll be able to put your heart into it. If you just hear it, learn it, you don't know what it means, you try to imitate and don't learn how to pronounce it, then after 20 years, somebody can sing, Yasya Prashara, Bhagavat Prashara, and they're not really sure, you know, what the verse means or how to say it or anything like that, and then it's not so impactful. But if you take time and learn at least the basic mantras that we use in everyday prayers and rituals and things like that, then when you go to any ISKCON temple, you'll see that it's meaningful for you because you know what's going on. So that's a good place to start. And we have these listed, and also recordings that go along with on this the Bhakti Roots course. Right, Shraddha? We have. Apparently there's some tiny little glitches in order for us to release it to the public based on, what's that platform called? Huh? No. WordPress. Yeah, WordPress. We need a WordPress expert because ours had this one of his parents passed away and he got distracted and he hasn't helped us for a long time. But we have somebody?
Yeah, we found somebody and we had a meeting last week. And she's going to go through that. Yeah, so we have a person who's skilled at that.
It's getting close then.
Yeah. Very enthusiastic also.
That's good.
Yeah.
So Bhakti Roots course is there. You can check in with Shraddha. She'll tell you when it's available. Could be any day now. Okay, so today we had an Ishta Goshti, which means we gather together in a circle to discuss Krishna. And we heard different verses, people's realizations, we chanted japa together, we sang a couple songs. Three songs by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And now we're going to have a Guru Puja. So we have an opportunity to dance at this point. Dancing is one of the most important aspects of bhakti. Feel free to put your arms in the air. Do the Swami step, or innovate in whatever way inspires you. And we'll meet you back here for Guru Puja in about 60 seconds. Thank you very much. Gaur Premanande Haribol.
Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman. Hey! Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman.